Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the even more famouser Alec Medford, who's excited because it's a wrestling day. Welcome to the program, gentlemen. It is also a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. Franklin and Franklin Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved, or on the YouTube or on the Twitch. We got a couple of wrestlers coming in from TNA in about 20 minutes live ahead of the Genesis pay-per-view on Sunday. But, gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing today?
Busy.
You're busy?
Yeah.
Everybody wants a piece of Mike.
Yeah. And it's my daughter's 20th birthday, which is awesome, but also is sad because don't get to see her. So,
That, when was the last birthday you saw her? Last year?
No.
Oh,
18
wow.
years old.
18, I mean, and she stopped.
As long as your kids go off to college and their birthday is during the school year, there's pretty impossible to see them. Maybe on a Saturday or Sunday. If
I time mine right then. Both my kids are during the Christmas break. So when they go off to college, they'll be back and they'll be like, hey,
that is true.
With my friends.
That is true. So obviously a huge football weekend with the NFL divisional playoffs. And so I had a question for you guys to kind of kick this off. Your own personal rootability scale. Who do you really want to win this weekend, or who do you really want to lose this weekend? And Mike, I'm going to assume we're going to go Chiefs here.
Yeah, that's number one for me.
Okay, and so I put my own list together, and I pretty much, I think, rank them from the team I most want to win to the team I least want to win in the divisional round. All right, so yours is the Chiefs, is because you love the greatness of the organization, the greatness of
really the greatness of Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Like the organization, great. I know the Hunt family lives here for the most part, but why would you root against Michael Jordan unless Michael Jordan's going against your team? Or you'd root against them if your team is playing the other game and you're like, I just want to avoid Michael Jordan.
I get that.
But in the world of sports, just like the Rangers didn't make the World Series or didn't make the playoffs, you guys were kind of rooting for the Dodgers. It made sense to see Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. I'm not saying you're rooting for the Yankees because there's a hate because of your team.
That I can't do, yeah.
As long as you're not a Denver fan or a Raiders fan, you know, like in the division, like how in the world do you, like do you really want the AFC Championship game, the Texans versus the winner? Like that's not as exciting.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure.
Yeah, I guess the top team for me then is Detroit. Which, Kevin, you would say is likely, considering my rooting interest all season.
Believe it or not, Detroit is my second team
on
the list. The number one team that I'm rooting for, and
Baltimore.
It's Baltimore, just because I really, really like Lamar Jackson. I think he has gotten a crazy unfair amount of hate, and I realize the only way to silence that is to win a Super Bowl.
I completely agree with you on that. I'm also rooting for Buffalo in that instance then. This is the most fun game of the weekend, I feel. Maybe Lions Commanders will be fun too, just because they're offenses. But these are legitimate MVP candidates that are stacked up against each other. Two explosive offenses that could also wear you down. And their defenses, it's a coin flip on which one's showing up. So I'm excited about the possibilities with these two teams.
From the 682, this person said, maybe because I just want to see someone else win. They want to see Kansas City lose. There are plenty of people who are saying F the Eagles. I'm not surprised. I think that team's going to come in last. But my hierarchy of top three, because I kind of had them separated. Like, this is my top three by quite a good margin. And there's a really big drop. It's the Lions, Ravens, and Bills.
Okay.
So the Ravens, because I love Lamar Jackson, I know just a second ago I said I really like. And the Lions and Bills, just because I feel bad for their franchises, and they've had, like, the Lions haven't gotten
to. So you're rooting for the Bills and the Ravens?
Yeah. I've got the Ravens ahead of the Bills.
Okay.
But, like, whichever team wins that game, I'm going to root for them in the AFC Championship
game. But don't
you
want them to play Kansas City?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In a way, it would mean a lot more to beat Patrick Mahomes. He seems unbeatable in these situations.
A Super Bowl is a Super Bowl at the end of the day, but a Super Bowl that you beat Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen and then you beat Patrick Mahomes to get to, that's gotta feel all the sweeter.
Dirk beating Kobe and LeBron meant more.
That being said, though, let's say there is the Texans run through Mahomes and then they run through the Ravens or Buffalo. Then we're looking at Stroud in a completely different light.
And
like, holy crap, this is the next coming. Like, this is the next thing with what the quarterback position is and what this team's going to be.
And so I think you'll appreciate this, Mike. I actually have the Texans as fourth of my list as kind of a anti-Jerry Jones sentiment, because I'm kind of hoping that if you're like, hey, hold on just a second, they changed things up. They got a new coach. They went out and got a new quarterback. All of a sudden, they're rocking and rolling, and they're winning things, and they're in my own state. I realize that's a foolish hope and a foolish dream. I actually think very little outside actually impacts what the Jones family thinks about, like, in terms of what they're going to do with their agenda for the team. But I have the Texans at fourth on my list just because of that exact reason, hoping that they'll be like, wow, another Texas team found a way to win, so it's not impossible.
I also, one of the reasons, Kevin, that I want Kansas City to continue is all the people that get so bent out of shape about Taylor Swift showing up, I just want them to continue to be a bit out of shape about it. It's fun.
I gotcha.
It's fun to have that extra ancillary thing that people get all worked up about, and then you're like, how do we even stop this machine? You're like, well, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. And Andy Reid. Man, we'd give so much credit to Mahomes, and Andy Reid's right there in line with it. That combination of those two, so special. I just was looking at stats recently on those two guys together and what it was before. It's nice, man. It's really nice.
The
Rams have also picked up a lot of steam for me.
Are they like your scrappy underdog team? I know they won their division, but
they're my four because a team that wasn't healthy that has a very fun offense, and defensively they might be a little bit of a, hey, you don't know what's going on there, but get them to take down the Eagles, and I'm pretty happy about go in when versus talking about, I hate the Eagles. I hate their fans. I can't stand them. I was on the field and they were yelling at me. I hate them. And he's like, I'm just new to this. He's got some anger towards it.
Just real quick, MLB Network is saying that the Padres are out on Roki Sasaki, which means it comes down to the Dodgers, which I think we all think is the way it's going to go, and those scrappy Blue Jays who are included in the conversation still.
Why is Toronto always included in these? Like, they were in the Shohei conversation for no apparent reason.
Yep.
Like, there was no reason for them to be in the Shohei conversation.
And here's the deal. I haven't gone to Toronto since 2001 when our bags wouldn't get to our hotel room because Juan Gonzalez accidentally brought some extra stuff in his luggage.
Oh, no.
A couple extra bats. You remember bats, Kevin? We couldn't bring our bats back because...
Gotcha.
I don't know the Japanese population in Toronto. I don't know this. Like, we always hear that obviously the West Coast, you're not close, but at least it's the closest trip possible to Japan to kind of get home when you want to get home. Toronto obviously is the total opposite.
About 17,000 in Toronto.
So I mean, Toronto is a very clean, a very rich city. Housing is a major problem there because it's so expensive to live there. But obviously it's very expensive and probably more expensive to live in Los Angeles. I don't know. I don't know how the Blue Jays have made it down to the Blue Jays versus the Dodgers in this. But to your point, Corey, in a way, there were a little bit of reports, true or not, that it came down to the Blue Jays and the Dodgers for Shohei.
I like it.
It is interesting. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go off the assumption that everybody, or not everybody, most people in the DFW have the Commanders and the Eagles like at their I want these teams to lose list, especially the Eagles. I see the appeal of the Commanders in terms of the Cowboys embarrassment factor.
I was just about to say,
I get that.
The Commanders, I'm supposed to hate them. Supposed to. But they got a fun quarterback, receiver that I love. Their head coach is somebody beloved around here. So there's some things that I like. I just don't want to see them beat Detroit.
Okay, I got that. Mike, are you rooting for Detroit over Washington? Because I see the appeal of Washington winning the game.
Yes, but it doesn't affect me either way.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, like if Kansas City loses, I'm not going to throw things and be like, this stupid sport. I mean, right. To be honest, I don't even know in the history of football, has anybody ever... this would be 7-for-7 in his career. We have to look at it as like he's never not made the championship game. Patrick Mahomes has. I know that that has to be a record to start a career off 6-for-6, and he's going. Trying to go 7-for-7, and then I would say, has anybody in the history of football had a 7-year span of making the NFC or AFC championship game as the quarterback?
That is a great question.
I assume no.
Because the first person I looked
Jim
at...
Jim Kelly?
I looked at Bart Starr, but even then, I don't think so, because he got 61, 62, 65 through 67. So it looks like even then, there was... Yeah. Even when the playoffs were obviously significantly different, there was 2 years. So there's not one that comes to mind, and that would... Yeah. 6-for-6 is an incredible accomplishment already.
I'm with you on like whoever wins the Ravens-Buffalo game. That'll be awesome. I'll still be rooting for the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game as long as the Chiefs win. But I guess I'm leaning slightly towards Buffalo. I know it'll hurt Lamar Jackson tremendously in his history. Like you said, it will be such a knock on him. But then Buffalo versus Kansas City or Baltimore versus Kansas City, they both sound awesome. I guess I'll lean towards Buffalo. And then I'm rooting for the Rams. It's tough for me to, as much as I can't stand what Jerry's done to this organization for 3 decades, it's tough for me to root for the Eagles.
I get that for sure. Let me ask you guys a question. I know the game on Sunday night will include way more variables than just this, including the weather. But just right now, going into the game, and Alec, I want your thoughts on this as well. I want the listeners' thoughts. Who is the better all-around quarterback? And you can judge that however the hell you want. Is it Lamar Jackson or is it Josh Allen? And I realize, Sunday night will help me determine. I'm just saying, going into that game, you can define that however you want.
I can't. I really can't, because both of them have so many similarities in the ability to run and the ability. You just pointed out the number. Josh Allen's what, 509 and
609 to 602.
Yeah, the running numbers in the playoffs are insane. The Lamar Jackson was the best I've ever seen him throw. Ever seen him throw this year. 41-4. What?
That is unbelievable.
That's disgusting how good that is. I'm sorry, Kevin, I can't do it. I cannot pick between...
You can't pick between two people?
No, at this point, it's just which one I like more.
Okay. Which one do you like more?
I'll take Lamar Jackson because he helped me get third place in my fantasy team this year. So, I traded for him. So that was the special thing.
Mike?
Last year, Josh Allen helped me get there. So I loved him last year.
You're conflicted.
I'll lean Josh Allen.
Okay.
But this is like 50.1% to 49.9%.
Do you think that's the way most people kind of view it just at this particular moment? I know the next month could change a whole lot.
They're like, who's better? I think more people think Josh Allen is way better than Lamar Jackson. Not the majority, but if you're asking me, is it this close with everybody? I'd say more majority would say Josh Allen.
Everybody will probably have the same answer on this too, is that they think Josh Allen's a better thrower or Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball. And I challenge you this year, again, like this year was completely different. And that's a guy that very rarely has had weapons.
Yeah.
Very, like Mark Andrews has been his biggest target throughout most of his career.
And Zay Flowers is probably going to be out again this weekend.
So like that, and you asked, I think it was you guys discussed this yesterday. It was the, will this be a mark on their record after which one of them wins? Yeah, absolutely it's going to be. And that's why...
I don't think it will be with win. I think it will be with loss.
Yes. That's what I meant. Yeah. And that's the excitement of this game is because that's two guys that are going to be putting everything they can on the line for it because they understand that. Yeah. They both do. Now, hopefully, they can get into that mode where it doesn't affect them too much. Last year, Lamar Jackson was affected when he went up against Mahomes. He tried to be Mahomes, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
And so I hope they both stay within what they've done all season, and we get that game that just looks like it comes down to the wire.
I'll compare this to two former NBA basketball players. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are like right now Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley.
Okay.
And you know what?
Two heavyweights.
I'm not saying, Alec, you fall into this. A lot of people think both those players were trash basketball players. One was a fat ass, and the other one couldn't figure out how to win. That's not so much the truth.
Yeah.
They were in the Michael Jordan era, and it really sucked for them.
But yeah,
and they were both great players. They're both top 20 players, arguably, in the history of basketball. But doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They couldn't win jack crap because of one human being in their sport.
That's true. Alec, where do you go on this?
I'm kind of with Mike and Corey. It's just who I personally like better because the similarities are so crazy. They both get new play callers in the past couple of years that kind of expand things. They change things mechanically. I'd lean Lamar just because it seems like when he's at his best, he's doing crazier things at any given time. But I mean, you can say the same about both. It's like Mike said, it's like 50.1% to 49.9% for me.
And somebody asked,
are you that defined in your difference? Like, are you that defined?
Yes, yes. And like, this is a great example because when Mike has talked about how unfair and unforgiving the playoffs can be, let's say Lamar Jackson has four touchdowns, Allen has three touchdowns, but Buffalo wins because of a fumble that has nothing to do with Lamar Jackson and they lose. Does that really taint his career? Yes.
Yes.
It's not always fair, but I'm telling you what it will say is he didn't win. How often do you hear people say, I don't know, but Charles Barkley was the MVP of the league that year? No, they're like, they lost in the finals.
And Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
That dude won. His team's won.
Yeah.
He's the quarterback, and everybody's like, well, I mean, he was
all the credit.
How many Super Bowls?
Yeah, that's just the way it is. I'm not saying that's fair either.
Do you guys think Philip Rivers is one of the greatest quarterbacks you ever seen?
No.
Not really.
Oh, gosh, that really sucks. He went against Tom Brady and Peyton Manning his whole career in the AFC.
Yes.
He would have been, you'd consider him really good, except for those two.
Ben Roethlisberger is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I know that there's things behind that you don't like.
But he gets more credit because they won.
You know, but still, you still look at him and go, I don't know. Well, you know why you don't know? Because Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were in his division or in his conference for his whole career. Stink on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you say stink on it?
That is a weird.
Yeah.
Stink on
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
You're going to say sit.
No, I was going to say
okay,
the other S.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, former WWE World Champion, current TNA World Champion Nick Nemeth, and former TNA World Champion Tessa Blanchard, or we'll be prepared with something else entirely next on The Fan.
Canadians win the draw. Shot, score! It redirected! Lane Hudson let the shot go right off the faceoff. It deflected in Newhook, and Montreal is in front.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have Nick Nemeth and Tessa Blanchard up in just 1 second. Wanted to throw this out there for the Stars. The Stars are unfortunately defeated by the Canadiens. And this is two out of three losses after they had won seven straight.
Well, I'll tell you this. We need better from them. We need eight straight. You know, we need nine straight. Robertson, Kevin, has been fantastic. Ottinger, he was really, really good last night. And I think that's, you got to kind of rest on, you know what these teams are. You know what this team actually is completely together.
If my goalie gives up two goals, I think
I'm pretty okay with that. Yeah. And Hintz announced day-to-day, Kevin. That's a concern for me. I need more boos on Hintz being injured. And I don't love.
Do you want me to boo that report right now?
Just
is
boo
that
the
what
report,
you're saying?
Yeah,
boo.
Not the player. But whenever I'm looking forward to this team down the road here getting completely healthy, being prepared to get on another run like this, because you saw what they just did without some of their best players, they've done without some of their best players on the ice. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that.
Now, something to keep an eye out on: interesting article in the Dallas Morning News last night about why the Stars haven't put Tyler Seguin on the long-term injured reserve just yet. And that's going to free up $9.85 million worth of cap space when he goes on that injury. But the longer they wait, the potential for other cap space that they can open up as well. So the good news is, if you expect a big time move from the Stars, there's pretty much no player out there that they can't afford to slide in from the cap perspective. That's not to say that they can get any player, obviously, but there's no player that they're not going to be able to afford cap-wise.
Real quick, as we're about to transition here, is there a position that you feel like the Stars need?
Yeah, look, I would love to add to the blue line. I think that's something that you're going to have to do. Obviously, I'll never argue, especially given some of the struggles the Stars have had with more scoring. But really, add another person in the top four of your blue line. I would be fired up about that.
We just got a big belt coming in here.
That's right, because that is the TNA Wrestling World Champion Nick Nemeth joining the show, as well as Tessa Blanchard joining the show. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Thank you for having us. Yeah. It's an honor to be here.
Absolutely.
I think Tessa was getting ready to do some push-ups before this. Is that what you were like doing there? You're getting ready to get some
Nick, you want to take the reins on that one?
We were just getting in the zone, and mostly, if anyone's doing push-ups, it's Ross.
Who's, okay.
Yeah, at the moment, but it'll be after this for sure.
And okay.
Possibly during the interview.
All right. There we go.
All right. Did you guys appreciate the hustle from our people to get down there once we found out they weren't going to let you up? We have really high clearance.
Well, I mean, I've been here for an hour and a half, and yeah, eventually you did.
I was going to say, hold on. Nobody texted me.
I slept here last night. I wanted to get a feel for the room and everything.
I thought I saw him when I came in earlier on the couch. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, hey, are you going to be on your show? And he goes, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Like, you know, you're just like, you're dressed for the job that you want. I came here. I brought my resume. So here it says, All wrestling, no real jobs for 20 years.
Yeah. Nice.
You're going to do our Best Buy windows read and everything like that. Yeah. I like that. So y'all are obviously in town in Dallas, specifically for the first time in about 2.5 years. And I remember that very vividly because the last time you were here, I fumbled my attempt to get TNA wrestlers, then Impact wrestlers on the show because we were having a baby.
Oh, and dang.
So the last time you guys were here, three men and a baby
kind
of situation. Steve Gutenberg, Ted Danson kind of deal.
That kid keeps getting him sick.
Yeah.
That is very true.
They're little germ monsters.
I'm good now. But it's been 2.5, almost 2.5 years since y'all have been in the market here. And obviously this is a big market. This is a great wrestling market. What does it mean to be back in Dallas? And I guess for you as the world champion, for you returning to the company after a while.
If you're looking at me, so I'll go. But like, I know Texas is fantastic for wrestling. Like you can go to like, oh, we're in Pennsylvania. We know there's Texas is something that sits with me because I was a big Freebirds guy. Freebirds, Von Erichs, WCCW stuff. Michael Hayes, one of my mentors. And just he's constantly telling me old guy stories, but tell me how much better they were than us, all that stuff. But it's when I first went to Ohio Valley Wrestling, I got a stack of VHS tapes because that's how old I am from Jim Cornette. And it was like a bunch of different things to watch and to learn and promos and different things. And just watching and listening to the Von Erichs come out anywhere in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
To
Stranglehold.
Shrieking like the Beatles on Ed Sullivan shrieks, but instead of 100 people, it's 50,000 people in a stadium is one of the things. Like, I got chills on my arms thinking about it right now. I used to watch this tape every once in a while. I have a couple beers with everybody else and just put this match on and watch it and just go, this is an old stadium. People are losing their minds. And then they quiet down and then the wrestling happens and they lose their minds up and down the whole time. And it's just, you just know that the tradition is there. And taking 2.5 years to get back here, that's on us. But we've been all around Texas and it's just such good fans. You can have half full stadium, but they're bloodthirsty and so behind us. It's so great. But the last time we were here, we were selling it out. No big deal. So we're going to be bouncing all over the place. And y'all got San Antonio TV coming up, and that was sold out last time too. And the crowd, it's so fun when you know you feed off that energy, and it's just the hotter they are, the better the show is.
San Antonio is going to be a blast, too. I'm particularly excited because we're talking about Blanchard territories.
Yes.
Southwest Championship Wrestling, from my dad to my grandpa. There's so much history in San Antonio for us. So to go and wrestle there, have my dad present, it's going to be something super special.
Is Jim Cornette, I'm always curious, this is a family show, of course, mm-hmm. but is Jim Cornette as prolific of a cursor as I've perhaps been led to
believe? Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I'll try and make this quick. I was brand new in wrestling, and I did not come from the independents, and I got hired because I was a fan who had a tryout and eventually worked out. As Division I wrestler, all-time winningest wrestler, I can't say.
Yeah, oh, just that. Just
most pinfalls. Most pinfalls. I heard that.
I was in high school.
But
that got me a tryout. That had nothing to do with anything. I didn't know what I was doing. I have no idea how to do pro wrestling. I'm just a fan. And I finally trained for a couple of months. I get a dark match. I'm going to rush through this as much as I can, but it's myself, Kenny Dykstra, and another tag team, and I'm a couple months in, it's my first match. There's a mistake, and that happens, and that's fine. And afterwards, Cornette goes down the line, like, you MF, you MF, and you, I know it's your first match, but you can be better. You know what? You're fired. And he fired me.
Whoa.
And I go, I don't have any relatives in the business. I don't know how anything works. And I'm just distraught. I'm just sitting there in the locker room, and my buddy Johnny Jeter, who was eventually in the Spirit Squad with me, he comes over. He's the champ at the time. And he's like, dude, what are you still doing here? We're all going out. I go, Cornette just fired me, man. I got to call my dad. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he starts laughing. He goes, he's fired me 150 times since I've worked here. He goes, you're going to get fired 10 more times this month. I'm like, what? And then I was like, I don't buy it. I go in to see Cornette, and I'm like, hey, am I fired? He's like, what? You dumb MF-er? No, of course you're not. Blah, blah, blah. And he jumps up. I thought he was going to shoot me because I'd heard that he's got a gun back there. He's made it quite clear. But it was like so funny. He swears up a storm. But he is a genius mind, and I learned so much from him and Rip Rogers. But that's like, you dumb MF-er, you thought you were fired. I'm like, you said the exact same sentence.
Literally said I'm
10
fired.
Minutes ago. Yeah. You dumb MF-er, you're fired. Like, what? I don't know what to believe or not. And I just, it was so great. I got to learn so much. That guy knows everything. And Rip Rogers knows everything in the ring to help me out for especially 101, brand new wrestler. I got to learn from some of the best.
Our co-host used to pitch for the Mets, and the way you describe that feels very similar to some of the crowd reactions that you would talk about that you would get if maybe it wasn't your best start.
Yeah, sometimes they would get mad at how much money we made, and I'm like, I'm not the one making that money. Can you please yell at somebody else? I'm on league minimum right now. Tess, when it comes to the energy, we're talking about the energy of the crowd. Can you remember a moment in your career where the energy of the crowd did something to elevate your game?
Oh, I mean, I think all of us, every wrestler, we feed off of the crowd. I remember actually in Dallas, Texas, it was one of my final matches when I was with Impact Wrestling for Hard to Kill, me versus Sami Callihan for the Impact World Heavyweight Championship.
I was at that show, just saying. I was at that show.
It was a history-making night, and I think the energy from the crowd, all of those feelings, you could just feel it in the story that we were telling. So probably that night, if I have to go back. But now being a part of TNA, coming back, seeing how much the company has grown, it's a completely different company from when I was first a part of it. And to see the arenas that we're running, the crowds that are showing up for us, the partnerships that are being made, it's a great time to be a part of TNA Wrestling.
Yeah, and just yesterday, I know obviously y'all have dealt with this for a while, but just yesterday, the official partnership announcement between TNA and the WWE, and I know both sides have kind of dabbled on both shows. What do you think about this becoming official? Because it kind of feels like y'all had been feeling each other out. Now we've got ourselves an official partnership.
I think it's great for everyone. One, it's here's the biggest winner, the fans. Like, wrestling is fantastic. We love it. Some of us, it's our whole lives, and it's like we live for it. And now this time in 2025, there's wrestling every single day of the week on TV.
Yeah.
You can go see it live. You can see something independent near your house. There's wrestling everywhere, and good wrestling, which is fantastic. And having this partnership that hopefully benefits both sides, it's going to benefit the fans no matter what. And it just makes these things that you had in your head, like, wouldn't it be cool if this gal and this guy and this could have a match here? And you're like, yeah, that'd be neat. Like, you know what? On Thursday, it might happen. You don't know who's going to show up on Impact. You don't know who's going to show up on NXT. You don't know who's going to be in the Rumble. There's a surprise. Anything can happen, and that's really cool for a fan because there's only a few moments a year where you get to really go, oh, Tessa showing up the other day is another one. Like, really, just like, I was there. I didn't know what the hell was going on, and I go, oh! Like, you only get a couple of those, and it's so fun to see them happen.
Do you ever have discussions backstage if you're like, have a prior relationship with this person, you're like, hey, what the hell? You didn't tell me you were going to be here and you just appeared. Like, you couldn't have texted me or something? Has that ever come up?
You know what? The good thing about my return, my coming back to TNA Wrestling, was it all happened very, very fast. There was almost no time to tell anyone.
Okay.
So even for me, it was a surprise. I didn't expect it to happen. But thankfully, it was a really cool thing in the locker room and for the fans. And Nick said it best himself, with the partnership, with all the cool things happening in wrestling right now, the winners are the fans.
That's awesome. Do you guys, I know y'all have a busy schedule. Do y'all have time to stick around for another segment, or you got to keep moving and grooving?
You going to talk hockey, or what's the deal?
We're going to figure out why the hell.
Why the hell would you
give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract?
Bro, don't even get me started. $250 million guaranteed.
We might have to talk about that. Do they have time to stay around for just a little bit?
All right. Yes.
We're going to keep Vic, and we're going to keep Tessa, and we're going to figure out why they gave Deshaun all that money. All of that coming up next right here on The Fan.
Super kick!
It's the Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Nick Nemeth and Tessa Blanchard in studio with us. The pay-per-view Sunday night at the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland. It is TNAWrestling.com, CurtisColwellCenter.com if you want to get tickets. Nick, you are in the main event. Tessa, I would argue you're in the co-main. I'm sure there's other people who are like, I'm in the co-main, but I would argue that y'all have two of the at least three biggest matches on the card. Do you want to go ahead and brag on yourself and say that is accurate?
You know what, though? I think that the entire locker room, and just from the matches that I've seen, every match outdoes the next one after the next one after the next one.
I've been saying the same thing all morning and yesterday, too. It's like I used to be in that first or third or fifth match, and I'm like, we're stealing the show from that main event. We're going to teach you a lesson. And now the last four pay-per-views in a row, I'm going on last going, how the hell am I following this? And I got to like step up my game. And then I watch, and it was a 2 out of 3 falls, and it was Masha and Jordan. I'm like, man, I can't follow that. Holy shit. And then, oh, sorry.
Boom.
And then,
this week we did. Two days ago, Kevin.
If it makes you feel better, I accidentally said the F word.
You said friend? You said friend on the air?
I did. I really just...
We did it.
Awesome. But everyone's eyes just
that's how good the match was. That's how good the match was.
Yes.
I got what you're saying.
That's how darn good it was.
I got what you're saying.
Powerful.
No, but it's like, I watched that, and then I watched the Hardys and the system tear it down, and I'm like, oh my God. And then I watched the X Division match, and I'm like, I love this challenge. They are all main events. We've built the stories there, and just no matter where they are in the card, it's going to be awesome. And I'm looking for the entire card every step of the way. Even a couple of kickoff matches that we have are Leon Slater, I think, and Frankie have a match. And I don't know which part of the show it's on, but I was like, oh, man, that's going to be fantastic. It is that's what this is about. Like, everyone's talking about TNA because the talent is there, and it's going to shine on Sunday.
Now, Tessa, one of the things I'm intrigued by is it's not that you haven't been wrestling, but you're not always wrestling in the United States, are you? Like, can you catch people up for where have you been wrestling and what you've been up to?
Sure. I've been traveling a lot lately, but for the better part of the past year, I've been wrestling over in CMLL over in Mexico City. Fell in love with the culture, fell in love with the people. CMLL is one of the wrestling, well, it is the wrestling company with the longest running wrestling company in our sport. So it was always a dream of mine to wrestle in Arena Mexico, and getting to do that, it's just something that I hope everyone gets the chance to experience in their lifetime. But, you know, prioritizing my future, putting my goals pen to paper, it was time to come back to TNA Wrestling. This is kind of where I put everything on pause. I went back to college for international affairs, joined ROTC to get into the United States Army. And that was kind of the track that I was focused on for a while, but wrestling was always in my heart. And I was like, I always say that I have unfinished business in the professional wrestling business, and TNA was the place to come back.
Because you were the world champion when COVID hit, and it led to all of that other stuff that you talked about. So when you say unfinished business, like that feels accurate.
Sure. Yeah. I stepped away for a good 3 years. I don't want to make the mood somber, but I kind of felt okay stepping away from pro wrestling. I found peace with it. But like I said, I'll make the story quick, but I was in my lieutenant colonel's office, and he goes, Blanchard, why aren't you signing your contract? You're the top in your class for 3 years now. Like, why aren't you signing it? It's time, do or die. And I was like, sir, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. It's because everything is set. You know, my finances, my future, my everything is so laid out perfectly. But wrestling is in my heart. And I know that I am darn good at this. Like, I know. I'm like, I know that I can do this. I know that I remember when I first started and my name, a lot of people would say, it's your name that got you here. It's your name that got you these opportunities. And I'm like, well, your last name might get your foot in the door, might get you in front of the right people. But once you get in the ring, it doesn't really do much for you. It doesn't drive the miles for you. It doesn't pay the bills for you. It doesn't take the bumps for you, that's for sure. So it's your training. It's how well you've prepared. It's maybe who you know to get there, but what you can do to stay there. And I've never been scared of hard work. I've never been scared of starting over. I've never been scared to call myself a student, no matter what stage of the game I'm at. And I stand on that.
Man, that's a fantastic answer right there. Plus, she didn't swear, which I really appreciate.
I learned my lesson.
What a true professional. At least there's one true professional here.
Now, one of the things we were talking about off air, Nick, you mentioned Kenny Lofton as somebody that you really liked. So I'm going to turn over the floor to Mike Bacsik, who was previously teammates with Kenny Lofton. You have a fun little story for us there, do you not?
Yeah, so I make the major leagues in 2001 with Cleveland, and then September 11th happens. So we're in Kansas City. We bus back to Cleveland, can't get a flight at that time. And so we're just having practice as the league is shut down, trying to figure out what to do in the world. And I have a 1994 Ford Explorer. This is 2001. And I'm just parking in the parking lot. I've only been in the big leagues for a few weeks. And so we're having team stretch. And Kenny Lofton starts yelling at somebody. And my name's Mike, by the way. And he's like, Steve! Hey, Steven! And I'm stretching next to, there's one's about to be a Hall of Famer, CC Sabathia, and then David Riske. And they're laughing at me because I'm just trying to be quiet. I'm a new guy on the team. I don't want to upset anybody. I want to just, the veterans are going to pick on you, but that means you're part of the team type of deal.
And he's looking for Steve.
He wants to yell at Steven. And then David Riske looks at me and he's like, he's talking to you.
And you were thinking, hey, man, this Steven guy's in trouble.
You're giving him the business.
Good thing I'm not him.
Yeah. You don't park the $1,000 car with the $100,000 cars. So I didn't know. I pulled in my 94 Explorer next to like his $100,000 sports car. And so Kenny was a great teammate. I loved Kenny, but then he had all the rookies over later to his house, and he had all these video games, and he wanted to make sure the rookies were treated well, but not happy that the rookie didn't know where the crap cars are supposed to park in the parking lot.
Did you have to park across the street, East 9, no, third different lot?
I actually asked the rookies, I'm like, where do we park? Like, yeah. I was like, I'm sorry.
You'll walk to practice.
I didn't tell you guys this, that same year, a week or two later, Omar Vizquel is trying to sell like Boy Scout or Girl Scout, whatever, cookies or whatever, and for us to sign up for things. And he gets to me and he passes it to me and he forgot my name and he had to look up at my...
Steve, yeah. Steve, how many cookies you want here, Steve?
It wasn't just Kenny who had no clue who I was.
You know, you guys have your names on the back of the jersey. Maybe on the front it should put the first name, just so everybody's covered.
But to be fair, sometimes Cleveland Athletics makes mistakes, like giving $250 million fully guaranteed to a quarterback who is oft injured and not that good anymore. What the hell are y'all going to do now?
You want that?
Plus several other things. Off the field are alleged, which heartbreaking stuff for Cleveland, the fan base, who I thank you for the Kenny Lofton story, by the way, because Kenny Lofton, Bob Uecker, Pete Rose, Ricky Henderson, my all time favorites, but I'm locked in on Cleveland. But it's just the city deserved better than that deal. The fans, you know, the team decided that they like did Baker Mayfield dirty. They went and grabbed another quarterback while he was still there.
Yeah.
They didn't tell him what was going on, but you see what's happening. And then they go $250 million guaranteed to a guy who hasn't played football. He didn't play the season before and maybe a little bit before that. And like, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, oh, they must know something we don't. And they sure as hell didn't. Sure as heck did not.
You're fine with that. We think about like, in the world of sports, so how much it will mean to Cleveland or how much it can mean in the world of wrestling when the comeback story happens. Because think of Detroit right now with the Lions. It's $1,000 to sit in the upper deck for that playoff game coming up because Detroit, since the 1950s, they haven't had really a good team since the 50s. Cleveland, they lost their team, so it was a sellout every night at Jacobs Field because there was no football to go
see.
So, like, if Cleveland ever gets great again in football, it will just be spectacular to be at one of those games.
It'll be nice. And it's like, yeah, the Lions, they know the same deal. I think I saw a stat because my buddy's a Raiders fan. It was like Raiders, Lions, and the Browns, all these 95 years without a championship or whatever the hell it was. It was, it was so ridiculous. And I'm happy for the Lions. At least we can, you know, they're nearby. We can root for them, which is great. But, yeah, Cleveland's been screwed left and right by the management more often than the players and people involved. But for some reason, every year we go, you know what? We're not going next. We're not going to support them. No. And then we're there the first day, 50,000 people. And it's
I'm sure Cowboys fans don't know anything about that. So
you've had some good runs.
That's true.
Kofi's telling me, like, you know, the Patriots, man, we can't catch a break this year. Like, excuse me?
Stop it.
You had 25 years in a row, and now you're taking a year off. Yeah, beat it.
Now, you talked about how everyone in wrestling, or just in life, loves a comeback story. Now, this could apply to both of y'all. Now, specifically, Nick, for your main event, I hope I'm not breaking any news when I let you know that I feel like most of the crowd will be rooting for you to lose against Joe Henry.
Of course.
What's it like for both of y'all being in an arena, being in a ring, and knowing that pretty much everybody there wants you to lose? Because that's got to have happened.
Kevin, you know this experience.
Oh, yeah.
You've been in this experience whenever our fans are like, oh, we want to see him go down.
Absolutely. I get it because I've been on the other end of it. I've been in several different main events at pay-per-views against John Cena where I don't deserve it, but 99% of the crowd is rabidly cheering for me, the bad guy, against him. And so I've been there before. I know the deals. As long as they're involved, as long as they're voicing their opinion, we feed off it no matter what, and it's the best. And the last time I fought Joe Henry, I had a 90% crowd cheering for him also. And no offense, that doesn't help him beat me because I'm really good.
Same question for you. I know you've been in that scenario.
Hey, when I made the decision to come back to TNA Wrestling, I wanted to make a statement. I wanted to send a message. And who better to do that with than the top dog right now? Jordynne Grace has transformed her body, her mind, her work into this powerhouse. She's the name that everybody's talking about. She's across the lips of all the companies, all the fans in multiple countries. And the thing is when I was in Impact Wrestling, I was at the top of the mountain and I knew it. And that rubbed people the wrong way. And I loved it. And then when I stepped away for a few years, it left this space for someone to go take the ball and run with it. And that's exactly what Jordynne Grace did. She reached up, she grabbed that ball, and she became this absolute powerhouse. But I'm back and I want my ball back. So this Sunday 19th at the Curtis Colwell Center, I'm coming and it's going to be an absolute war.
If you want to see the card, TNAWrestling.com. You can go to CurtisColwellCenter.com if you want to pick up tickets. I want to remind everyone, if you get the Power Slam front row section, that's got the commemorative take-home chairs. You get to sit in the front row section. There's going to be a pizza party, barbecue with wrestlers. Now, Corey,
I love barbecue.
You need to spend time with your family. You can leave those seats for me.
Okay.
That Texas barbecue. Yeah,
exactly. So plenty of stuff to love. And like you guys said, match after match, trying to outdo one another on the pay-per-view Sunday, Garland, Curtis Colwell Center. Guys, thank you very much for jumping on the show with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll be the champions that Cleveland and Dallas lately can't have.
Okay. I want you to win, Nick.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. There you go.